Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Pat Boyle in for Mraz. Mraz and Bogish in for DA. And on the Best of the DA show, how could Boston fail that miserably at home in Game 7? Plus, your best audio of the day and sound check, including Ryan Hickey defending his Penn State Nittany Lions. He thinks they were screwed by the refs in the lacrosse Final Four. Plus, we take out the trash on a Trash Tuesday. Yours truly with another epic version of Canadian bacon. Is it a five oinker? You're going to have to find out. Plus, advanced analytics and the epic fail. It's the Best of the DA show. It is now.
Well, let's get right into it, man. We're here to fully digest. If you're tuning in, waking up this morning, we thought we might be in for an epic one. It kind of fell flat in Boston. The Celtics do not pull off the improbable 3-0 comeback instead. The heat is on. The heat is on. Dun, 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 dun. I think I just sung that wrong. But either way.
Close enough. On to what, though, is the question.
Miami is heading to the NBA Finals. So the question has to be asked, how could Boston fail that miserably last night? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Jimmy with the rock. 36 seconds to go in the third. Goes baseline. Kicks it out to Martin. Martin sidestep for three. Splash! Everybody's all upset. They think Jimmy stepped on the baseline. Only three people get to decide if he did.
I think that everybody sees what he's doing in the games, but the real work is done when he's in the gym by himself with his trainer. All the countless amounts of reps to prepare him for this moment. He doesn't shy away from it.
Down to 10 on the shot clock, 3:30 to go in the game. Finds Jimmy on the cut, the throwdown. He has 20, 28. His 12th make in 28 tries. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Heat up 20.
What happened last year, you know, obviously was on our mind, and it drove us this year. And that's what you always hope for competition, that it can drive you to a higher level. And I think that's what you saw in this series this year, to be able to have to overcome a lot of stuff.
As the Eastern Conference Championship belongs to the Heat, 103-84 the final. For the seventh time in the 35 years of Miami Heat basketball, your Miami Heat will battle for the NBA's title.
You remember that type of stuff as a competitor and as an organization. And, you know, we just wanted to compete and come out and give our best effort and leave no regrets. And I think that's when we have that type of, you know, energy, I think, you know, things go our way.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
All right. Obviously, Miami Heat Radio. Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra, and Caleb Martin, who somehow did not win Eastern Conference Finals MVP, despite the fact that Reggie Miller told us all night that he was going to win it and then didn't vote for him himself, which is just unbelievable. The Heat win 103-84 last night. And Bogish and Boyle are my witnesses here. Not to pat myself on the back. Earlier in the day, I said, I'm pretty sure the Heat are going to win this game anyway. I sent a text to both of you guys. I felt really good about it. I bet on it. And I kept coming back to this, Bogues. Everybody in the world thinks a team is going to win, it's usually not a good sign that that team is going to win. And for 2 days after Saturday night's loss, anybody I talked to, how could the Heat recover from that? How could the Heat recover from that? Well, not factoring in the fact
Boston just used all of its energy. And, I mean, this is why teams were 150-0 from coming back three games to none.
Right.
To go through everything game by game, that's emotionally exhausting. And have that incredible buzzer beater on Saturday night. I questioned how much Boston would have left in the tank. And then throw in that you might have a little side of arrogance heading into the game. We're at home. We could do no wrong. And basically, they start off pretty hot from the first 5 minutes. But Jason Tatum on that very first play hurts his ankle. And from that point forward, it was so obvious. He hadn't come out in the first quarter all series long. He comes out in the first quarter. He's doing the limp thing. Look, is that an excuse? I guess partially. Is it an excuse as to why this is essentially a 20-point game? Well, let's not kid ourselves. In the three losses, Jason Tatum was a non-factor early on. Jason Tatum has not proven enough as a reliable NBA star to just let you know that his injury completely cost the Celtics. Jaylen Brown, by the way, you want to talk about the most empty 19 points you will see in a game. He was awful at times. Marcus Smart, and I only know this because I had a parlay cooking, had two rebounds in basically the first 5 minutes of the game. Didn't have a board the rest of the night. Top to bottom, this is a complete failure by the Boston Celtics. I am not going to solely pin this on the Tatum injury. I'll acknowledge it's a fact. But honestly, I think that you're seeing now why it's happened multiple times in hockey, because you have all these rounds, deflections, and everything. They're coming back from 3-0 down. It's only happened once in baseball, not easy to do. Basketball, when you consider the smallest rosters of any of the four major sports, you know, the emotions that go into it, the swings back and forth, I'm not sure we will ever see a team accomplish this feat, pulling it off, coming back from 3-0 down. And I think you just saw how emotionally exhausting it could be in that attempt.
I mean, as we saw, as you said, after they won game four to stay alive, they were set up as well as anybody could be to pull this off, because they were, in theory, on paper, the better team. They would have had game seven at home. That next game was at home to keep the momentum going in game five. And they got to game seven last night. And yeah, you did say that you thought the Heat were going to win. I thought the Celtics were going to win. I thought it was on the table for it to be a one-sided game, because I thought going back home for game seven was going to be, was the icing on the cake for the Celtics. That whatever fatigue they had, whatever drain there was, going back home in that building, which was on fire for game five, would have been good enough. And the start was fine, even with Tatum hurting himself immediately. It was quickly, what, 14-4, 14-6?
Yeah. It flipped minutes left in the first quarter.
And then that was it.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And credit to the Heat for even showing up for the game. And then every single time Boston tried to get back in it, they could get to nine, they could get to eight, maybe it was close to seven or six, and then right away the Heat rebuilt the lead again.
And it was almost always a Caleb Martin bucket, by the way, that ended those runs.
Or however many threes Butler hit, three or four of them, every single one of them was important. There were no throwaway threes. They all had a point in pushing the lead back to where it needed to be. It was a clinical effort from the best coach in the NBA and one of the best clutch players in the NBA. And then whatever you want to call Caleb Martin, because he was spectacular last night and had a tremendous series, and he absolutely should have been the series MVP.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. By the way, so I think it was four votes to three or five votes to four, whatever. Five votes to four, as EJ alludes to. Jimmy Butler wins Eastern Conference Finals MVP, which is fine. But the irony is, Reggie Miller spent basically the entire second half talking about how Caleb Martin should be the Eastern Conference Finals MVP, and then we see Reggie Miller's ballot revealed, and he voted for Jimmy Butler, which is unbelievable. And Jimmy Butler finishes with 28 last night, Bogues. And it, by the way, 855-212-4227. He finishes with 28 points. In that third quarter, to think of the night Jimmy Butler could have had, him and Bam Adebayo went through a stretch in the fourth quarter. And this is where the Celtics, I thought, really lost the game. You know, Tatum injuries be damned, because Tatum drilled the three during the midst of this. Jimmy Butler had some of the ugliest misses for like three or four possessions. We're like, damn, even like a layup underneath the glass. Then you had the play where Bam Adebayo doesn't even have any concept of the shot clock running out, tries to feed it to Jimmy Butler underneath the basket. No time left. On the shot clock, and it was like Bam and Butler, Bam worse so, but they were atrocious for points in the third quarter. Jimmy Butler turns it back on, And the fourth quarter, man, you talk about a long goodbye. It's the fourth quarter starts, and you're like, all right, the Celtics could be into this. And it was like in a blink of 2-3 minutes, you're like, wow, the game's over. It just became Jaylen Brown, clank, clank, clank. It was over, man. And we'll get into this throughout the show. We're going to, you know, hit on this multiple times, the future of the Celtics. You know, after the game, the TNT crew, as I couldn't really sleep right away, talking about, you know, maybe the future of Missoula. I mean, I think the future of Jaylen Brown is very much in question here. I think it's likely he's gotten dealt, but boy, do you feel good about that if you're a team acquiring him. Yeah, I think he kind of showed he wasn't a one. But again, when Butler and Bam are not playing that great in the third quarter like that, and it's just Caleb Martin every time he got the ball in his hands, you know, a sprinkle of Gabe Vincent here or there, it was, how could the Celtics just not respond? Like, that was the time for the Celtics to take advantage. And I think it was Van Gundy and Miller both at the same time saying it felt like a 90s game in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, defense, missed shots, ugly possessions, earning every trip up.
For all the credit we're going to give the Heat for that effort last night, they did open the door at times for a Celtic rally. And then they're like, oh, my bad. And they closed it again.
Yeah.
Bam was at times terrible last night. And they were on four games of him being basically terrible. That one sequence where he had the ball and Derek White on his hip.
Yeah.
And he went up soft, like falling away. Like, he's just obviously needs to get straightened out before game one Thursday in Denver. But yeah, there were absolutely chances in this game last night for Boston to get all the way back in. Derek White was trying so hard.
Yeah.
Tatum couldn't help him. And Jaylen Brown, basically no-showed. You said it perfectly. 19 hollow points, 8 turnovers. Terrible decisions. That game was begging to be the Jaylen Brown game, not the Caleb Martin game, and Jaylen just couldn't do it.
And that's probably all you need to know if you're a Celtic fan about Jaylen Brown, too. Your star player gets hurt in the first possession, and Jaylen Brown could do nothing to carry it, and Derek White did so much more.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of fun on this show, me versus you and DA on the Celtic legacy and Brad Stevens and whatnot, and I think the conversations that you guys were having then that were too early are now conversations to have here in this spot, that they changed head coaches. Brad Stevens brought in new pieces around these two lead guys. Tatum's, he's still a baby, and I know he's inconsistent. We also saw him have 6 ridiculous quarters to close out the Sixers in the last round. And I'll give his ankle more credit for last night than you will, because I just wonder if he's able to be Jason Tatum. Is he the one that stops the Heat initial push and the game never gets any real distance between it? We'll never know. Maybe Miami still wins even if Tatum goes off, but it wasn't going to be Jaylen Brown last night. It was a lot to ask of Derek White. Maybe it's Tatum's ability to be an elite player that changes the early flow in that game if he's fully healthy. But there's nothing to change with Tatum, but you've got to change the overall. You know, they fixed the middle and the bottom of the roster. Now they need to fix the top and really consider a Jaylen Brown trade.
No doubt about it, and I think they will. And just also on that broadcast last night, again, I think the Heat would have won anyway, but I thought Van Gundy calmed down late when he points out Tyler Hero, who, by the way, looks like, you know, basically a 6-year-old sitting on the bench with the bucket cap last night. When he uttered the words, you know, Heat fans don't want to hear about this Tatum injury tonight. Remember, they've done this whole thing about Tyler Hero. I understand he's a 20-point-per-game scorer. The comparison would be if Jimmy Butler had come out of the game. Like, that's the star players. And then Rebel Reggie Miller then goes, and don't forget, they're without Victor Oladipo. I mean, I think America forgot Victor Oladipo was on the Heat. Calm down. Yeah. Not the same thing as Jason Tatum getting hurt in this game. Relax. Relax a little bit.
You can mention those names as you try to understand how Miami's doing this, because they shouldn't be able to do it fully stocked.
Yes.
And you take those two guys off the table. I mean, you and I had a conversation.
I get that point, right. But
we sat here in round one talking about how significant Hero was as opposed to Giannis being out for the Bucks, because I didn't see how Miami could score enough without Hero supporting Butler to even beat Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez. And they won that one easily, and they're in the damn finals again. It's unbelievable.
And if you want to chime in on this, 855-212-4227, the number again is 855-212-4CBS. And why the heck not? Let's get the day started with David in Columbia, Montana. David, what's up?
That's Missouri, sweetheart.
M.O. All right, Columbia. What's up, David?
Hey, I just want to get your all's take about that. First of all, I really enjoy your show, but I want to get your take on, you know, the Nuggets are going to have 9 days off. Miami's got 2 days off. I know they keep statistics on everything these days. Is there any real stats or your thoughts about who has the advantage in terms of rest versus no rest?
Well, David, first of all, thanks for the call. I will tell you that this was going to be part of my research because we're going to have to stretch this out the next couple of days about the teams versus rest or no rest. Because you've seen one of these Warrior teams had like 9 days off and I'm pretty sure won the finals as well.
Yeah.
I will just say straight up, rest or no rest, Denver Nuggets fans had to be sitting there besides Miami Heat fans as the happiest people last night. Because let's just be real. First of all, look at the way Bam Adebayo is playing right now. I mean, I think I love Jokic no matter what, but I mean, is there going to be any contest to what he could do in the paint? And number two, the Nuggets are the flat-out better team. Now, I will not discount Miami because now they've beaten the Bucks, they've beaten the Celtics, but I got to think that the Nuggets are licking their chops at this matchup.
Do you remember the conversations that were happening when Miami got up 3-0? People were wondering if they should go right to Denver after sweeping game four to get there, get acclimated to the higher elevation, get their lungs and their whatever in check to be able to play game one. That's all off the table here. I think the history of rest versus non-rest really only applies to game one, where you might be rusty in game one. I don't think it leads to series success, but it might be good news for Miami to keep rolling, to keep playing, where Denver might be rusty and whatever. Maybe they can steal game one and get ahead in the series, but it's asking a lot to go to Denver and get quickly acclimated and play a better team.
And by the way, they're going to have almost 72 hours between tips.
And they're there now.
Yeah, and that was, how about yesterday? When that got tweeted out, can you believe the Heat have a flight to Denver booked after? Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Because what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Sit around at Logan Airport tomorrow night, hoping to get their charter out?
Right, and like
that's what traveling secretaries do for teams. They book their trips. They plan.
Well, it's also they're not flying Delta. They're on a plane that they can just tell to go wherever they wanted to go. They could have flown to Cancun last night.
You just need to plan and book a route for what do you call them? The flight people?
The FAA.
The FAA.
But that takes 2 seconds.
Right. Newsflash. They also had a flight booked home to Miami.
Right. They had a plane that was theirs going wherever they wanted to go. The thing was, and of course any coach would have done it, Spoelstra told them to pack for a week in Denver because they wanted to go there. Right. That was the part of the motivation to recover and be ready for game seven. That was such a non-story. And people were like, can you believe they would do this? How could they put themselves at risk of jinxing it?
I mean, exactly. Like me with the broom.
Always back to you.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right. By the way, before we get going to Soundcheck, I love the two guys working on the show today, EJ and Boyle, on my top five list for sure out of five people.
As a duo or individually?
As a duo. You want to talk about hard hat guys. Boyle here yesterday for sure. I don't know if EJ worked yesterday, Memorial Day, but he did. He's putting his thumbs up.
Of course he did.
But I just saw Pat Boyle deliver a drink to EJ. Like we're at like a party. Hey, can I get you something from the bar? He delivers him a glass of water. I mean, what kind of producing is that? I would never hand Bellotti a glass of water.
It's almost like Boyle's the locker room leader that you say you are.
Ooh. That's fine. He could. I mean, this locker room's a disaster. He wants to lead it. He can. No skin off my back. That was cool. That was nice of you. I noticed.
If I always ask, I figured I'm going to get it. Why not just grab a cup of water? Now, I did spill some of the water on the way back from the newsroom, and your good pal, Boomer Esiason's right down the hall at WFAN, so I had to go back and clean that up. Last thing I need is Boomer breaking his hip trying to walk to the bathroom, and then that's on my hands.
That's an old man joke?
Wow.
No. I mean, if I fell, I'd probably break my hip.
Not for nothing. That's how CBS gets Matt Ryan in. They might have rooted for it. All right.
they figure one old quarterback will get hurt soon.
Exactly. Thanks, Boyle. All right. Let's start it off with Michael Soroka, the Braves pitcher. I'm pitching for the first time since suffering two separate tears of his Achilles. That would be in the heel in 2020. Talking about all the people that believed in him.
The people that believed in me always said I was going to be back here for the people that believed in me, not the ones that said I couldn't. So, you know, those people are my dad, training staff here, and a group I work with in Arizona, and a lot of people that have helped me along the way. You know, there's been some people in my corner for a long, long time that have stuck by me, and, you know, it's a day for them, too. So, those were the people that kept me going and kept me to this day right here.
I give Soroka a lot of credit. Now, he's fortunate look, it's not easy to pitch because you need your legs, but if this was basketball or football or, dare I say, hockey, where it's constantly like a speed game, my guess is there would be some serious, even bigger questions about Soroka coming back. But either way, man, if I pop my Achilles once, I'm not even going to exercise again.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine coming back from two to play sports again.
The first time he did it, he was just covering first base against the Mets. And then the second time, I think he was walking into spring training and it popped again on him. Ugh. And this is a great story, except if you're like a petty, like me, Mets or Phillies fan, and the last thing the Braves need is to get back to full health with their pitching.
There you go.
Like, Spencer Strider is enough. Now Soroka's back, and Max Fried will be back soon.
Yeah.
And Acuna's hitting 7,000, and Mendelsohn has 30 home runs.
They're a good team.
They don't need any more good news.
Now, I don't know if you guys have, like, a worst fear injury-wise. I'm sure we've all had injuries. You played sports for a long time, Boyle. I've had a concussion. I've had torn ligaments in my ankle, each of my ankles. Mm-hmm. I've had those problems.
A splinter?
A bad splinter, which the cut is still killing me on. That was a bad dermatologist appointment. I don't know. I've had a broken wrist. Never had any kind of broken bone in my leg, but ligaments in my ankle. The Achilles. I know that's the old saying, it's your Achilles heel. That's my worst fear injury, the popping of the Achilles. I think I'd rather tear an I know people have torn ACLs and meniscuses. The Achilles, though, to me, is my fear.
You don't want that little one-legged scooter thing?
No. No. I think I'd rather two broken hands at the same time where
no,
somebody's got to help
want
me
that.
Out than have a torn, a popped Achilles.
Stop. Not being able to use your hand for 5-6 months?
Yeah.
Either hand? What are you, nuts?
By the way, this also excludes a clue. I don't want to be blind. With all due respect.
Yeah, no, we're talking about
like limb injuries. Yeah.
Yes.
Achilles for me. Hand for you, Boyle?
No. What do you mean?
Like a worst injury?
Your worst fear about getting... Forget what you've had in the past for a second. How old are you?
28.
So you're 28. You're a 28-year-old man. From here until you die, what is the one injury, if you had to pick one, you do not want to experience, either again or going forward?
I mean, I certainly don't need anything happening to the Brajol.
There you go. That's Pat Boyle.
Sorry we asked. You said worst injury as a 28-year-old guy. What do you think?
All right.
He's got seed to spread. He's got to protect the business.
Fair was the question I asked. Yeah. I think that's not the spirit of the question, but I'll take it.
I'd say probably broken leg.
Broken leg. Or over a toe. Okay. EJ, what do you got?
Well, my dad tore his Achilles twice, so I've seen that recovery.
Brutal?
Brutal. Oof. I mean, he was a guy who played basketball. We both played basketball. And he played basketball up until his mid to late 30s, and that was it. He tore it once, and he tried to go out again, and he tore it again, and he never played basketball again.
If you don't mind me asking, how old is he now?
He's 56, just 56.
Does he even, exercise at all?
He does now, and, he's done great about getting more active, but it took him a long time.
Probably in the back of your head, you're afraid of even pivoting. That's what I'm talking about. That would always bother me the rest of my life.
Yeah, it scares me. And I've had dislocated shoulders 3 or 4 times. I have a torn labrum. So, that is a rough injury, too. I still would prefer to do that again than do the Achilles.
Need your legs, man. Need your legs. What do you got, Bogus?
Well, I just suffered an injury hearing that EJ's dad's only 10 years older than me. So whatever you call
Jake
that.
Jake Bogus should be running the board in 10 years.
Whatever you call that, I just suffered. I'm afraid of back injuries because everybody has a back injury. They never go away. Mm-hmm. And they ruin your life and they just pop up. It comes back whenever it wants to. So stay away from my back.
Caserta, you got a worst case injury?
I've had fractured ribs and they suck. So I'm afraid of repeating that, but the one that I would not want to have is the clavicle.
Ooh.
Right up here. I think Romo did that. He got sacked once and fractured his clavicle.
Michael Boley. That was my Facebook picture for a long time, him laying there. Right?
Yeah. And that one really creeps me out.
All right. Jeez.
We're still doing sound check, by the way. Up next is Nuggets head coach Michael Malone talking about how Nikola Jokic receives ridiculous criticism that he isn't vocal enough.
I think that makes for a great story, but I don't know if that's entirely accurate. I think he's, throughout the year, not just the playoffs, he's picked his spots in terms of when to be vocal, when to challenge his teammates. You know, and the game 3 was just, hey, here's something we can do offensively, which is great. But I think it's even more important when we're playing at Houston and he calls the guys together before the game starts in warm-up lines because he doesn't like how we're warming up. So when he's holding others accountable and he's being a leader in that way, I think that's what really matters.
Hmm. Okay.
All right. I mean, great. I hate to have a no comment here, but I didn't even know this was a criticism, Jokic's.
Well, I feel like we're picking at people are picking at straws now, finding anything to try to criticize Jokic.
But
he doesn't yell enough.
But how would anybody not in that locker room have that criticism? How do you know? Not you saying in general, I'm saying, but anybody who would criticize Jokic for that?
I guess media.
Just but how would the media know? They're not in. Well, because they don't see him chirping enough down the court,
or screaming at teammates.
But they've literally been the best team in the West, if not the NBA, nonstop all year. There's been no downturn to be where's the leadership from Jokic?
I was going to ask, when is this little engine that could story going to stop with this team? Hey, we're the underdogs. It's us against the world. Enough. You swept the Lakers. You're heavily favored in the finals. This isn't a feel-good story anymore. Wow. You're there enjoy it.
Yeah, it has to stop here, though, because the Heat have the better little engine story. So now they're the big bad Nuggets.
There now, let's, Greg, to it, be fair. To be fair, the beginning of the playoffs, man, the Nuggets were the number one seed in the West, and everybody was looking for a reason not to pick them to go to the finals, which is usually everybody goes with the one seed.
Yeah, 3 rounds ago.
All right.
Well, and then they swept the Lakers.
But are they playing the little engine that could now?
I think that when
they game versus whoever, would they just beat? I already forgot. The Lakers.
Again, it's like playing victim, talking about Jokic in this way. And it's tiring now. You guys should take care of business. This should not be a 6-7 game series. Just go and play and win.
More on that later.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. Now, to close out soundcheck, everywhere Ryan Hickey is, Hot Take Hickey, host of the Ryan Hickey Show, overnights on the weekends on CBS Sports Radio, the former Pork Store Hours, and producer of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We saw him at the Rose Bowl for Penn State football. Apparently, he's just a traveling Nittany Lion. He went to the lacrosse Final Four, and he's claiming robbery.
All right, we're out here, Final Four. All you ask for when you're at this point in the season is a fair game. Have the players decide the game on the field. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, whether it's brand name, whether it's a check that was written, the referees decided, Duke needs a little help, we're gonna give him some help, and blatantly ignore an obvious crease call that ended the game. For whatever reason, I guess now there's a rule that I missed, must have, in college lacrosse, where Duke is allowed to break the rules, but no one else can. Duke is allowed to run in the crease, no one else can. So it's sad, it really is, because look, it impacts me, a Penn State fan, but who am I? I'm just a one fan. You got thousands of us here. But you know what you really heard? NCAA and referees, you heard the players. The kids out there working hard, putting in the practice 365, sweating at 6 a.m. practices in the middle of January, not wanting to be there. They work for those moments to be here. And the referees robbed them of what the moment Penn State deserved. I'm sorry. That is no other way to say it.
So, first of all, the EDM music blaring. I'm assuming that this was the first game was Penn State-Duke before whoever Notre Dame beat.
Yes.
He was down at Lincoln Financial Field in Philly. So he gets in the car and goes down
there. What a parking lot scene.
Man. That was in the building.
That was still in the building?
Yes, he was in the stand shooting that video with a dumb bucket hat
on. That's your in-between game music at the Link?
Now, I'll give Hickey this. Good fan. Good alumni going to the game. By the way, for those wondering, Penn State lost to Duke in overtime.
The game-winning goal was definitely controversial.
So it was and there was Hickey to tell you. Now, he's just no big deal. He's one little fan there heading out, but it's about the kids. Like I say, the kids driving around in Tulsa, whatever, that was Hickey's spot.
Okay, so you heard how Hickey said it.
Yeah.
You say it the exact same way. Are you proud of yourself for caring about the kids?
I'm actually proud of Hickey there, yeah.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah.
Really? Is there any more bigger group of loser alumni, like, from a school that, like, rah-rah, like, I'm from this school than Penn State?
I mean, everyone's a loser when their team loses. No one loses well.
Boyle, I love this point. I've been trying to workshop topic ideas as we run dry for NBA games. Lower the music here for a second, Jim. You're so right about something. Is there a bigger loser, alumni group? And it dawned on me, definitely Syracuse people.
Yes.
Because we work
100%.
With them. But also, it hit me last night. I'm watching when the Celtics make one of their runs down to 9 or 8, and you see the green leprechaun stuff and the shamrocks painted on the face, and you see like the drunk Celtic fans going nuts. I sat there last night and I said, is there a more annoying group of fans than this, than the Boston fans? And I'm really self-aware. And it was within 30 seconds I said, wait, I am this.
Yeah.
This is me when people get aggravated when the Giants finally get rolling or the Rangers get rolling. Mm-hmm. I'm the same exact person as this, and I hate them when it's not my team. So when you say that, you're right, Boyle. You're right in that, boy, these Penn State people, and boy, they were annoying for other reasons a few years ago. But I think we're all annoying. And I think when it's not us and we stare at people being annoying, we don't have enough self-acknowledgement that when it's rolling. Boyle, guess what? When the Knicks were rolling, you were really annoying. Like, really annoying. When you're freaking looking at your phone, we got dogs. He's a dog. That's a dog. Guess what? Celtic fans look at it and go, boy, these Knicks fans are annoying. We're annoying people. Being a sports fan is really annoying. And when you think another fan base is annoying or you hate another fan is annoying, guess what? You're also annoying. And that goes for most of the listeners out here.
That Rangers march to the conference finals, we were annoying and unbearable.
Annoying.
Yeah, but there's one thing when if a team, your team is doing well and you're pumping your chest and you're supporting your team, there's another thing to be annoying constantly, even when you're a loser football team and a loser. This year. Penn State. It's full of loser sports, and yet we are, as if like they started that chant. There's like 20 other schools.
You've never seen the Knicks win a title in your life. You're screaming in your backyard, drinking beers.
I'm excited. They're good for the first time ever.
Hickey's excited, too. Clearly, he went to Philly. EJ agrees with me. He's laughing. He knows.
I mean, look, first of all, my mom went to Penn State, so I can't say anything bad about Penn State.
Yes, she can.
You can. No, you're just choosing not to.
No, I can't.
Is she listening right now?
She could be. I don't know. She's
early. This is a safe space.
She's early. She's early. Let her.
Sorry to your mom.
My dad went to the same college Bilotti teaches, and I bash it all the time.
Well, Bilotti's made it better, though. He's raised the short level of the university.
I do feel like when you talk about like the Knicks fans, for example, like I think some of that is New York. Like I think I kind of hear where Boyle's coming from, where there are some fan bases where it's like I don't associate like whatever people think of Penn State that I'm not saying, Mom. I don't associate that with Pennsylvania or Philly or Happy Valley, for example. So I think when people say why they're annoying, it's just that school. With the Knicks, it's like, well, those are New Yorkers. Yankee fans are like that.
I guess.
Mets fans are like that.
But alumni, I think, in general, are annoying.
Yeah.
We can expand upon this more after Caserta's. Maybe there's something there. Something there to mold.
I mean, God forbid Fordham ever gets good at basketball. Look out. You're going to hate me.
Exactly. You guys were good.
You're good this year.
Yeah, but like really good. Like imagine me at the Final Four.
Well, that's never happened.
And somebody gets screwed by a bad call.
You'll never find me more to be annoying about my school because A, they play Division III. B, the moment you start sending me letters and calling me for donations, I'm out rooting for you. I root against me. 855-212-4227. What do we got, Caserta?
So I just had one thing about Hickey that I was curious about. Had he been drinking heavily? Because early on...
I don't think he went to Philly with water in hand.
Well, but I'm saying early on, he sounded like he did... Like he was halfway to where he was at the Rose Bowl, and then he kind of got it better at the end.
Yeah, it sounds like he learned his lesson. The Rose Bowl became unintelligible. That was the whole way through was fine.
Or... There's a once-in-a-lifetime experience of going from New York to Pasadena to watch a team play in the Rose Bowl, and there's driving down to Philly to watch the lacrosse Final Four. I just think the moment didn't meet where he was for football.
Because he does, like, the drunk guy thing where, like, you mush your words together, and then, like, but it wasn't like that at the end, so that's why I wasn't sure.
It's a different buzz.
Of the sobriety,
Rose Bowl drunkenness is different than lacrosse Final Four drunk.
He's big into peanut butter now, too. That's his guilty pleasure.
Mm. He's becoming... He's becoming a bit much.
Oh, jeez.
Maybe that's the poll question today. Has Ryan Hickey become a bit much? And make sure you tag him in that. That'll be our poll and our advanced analytics later on.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday. My favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, time to take out that trash. Let's start with the very angry Pat Boyle today.
Yeah, I'm trashing, I guess, just rude people in general, especially people that you... knew and were friends with, family friends with growing up. So yesterday, get done with the show here with Chris Miller, drive home, family day, Memorial Day. My father's doing grocery shopping, so I go with my mother to CVS, pick up some stuff. And I see this woman that my mom is friends with. I was friends with her daughter. We grew up. We did swimming together, high school swimming. We were friends, you know, pretty good family. Not family friends, but I was friends with her. I knew her mother many, many years growing up. So my mom says hi to her. She says hi and then like says hi to my mom and then transitions into, oh, I can't find the bug spray I've been looking for 15 minutes. And she glances over to me and I went to go, hi, miss. And she literally just looks at me right back down. Total stiff job. Totally stiffs me. Not even a hey, not a wave, nothing. As if I didn't even exist. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Mary? All these years that I knew you, that I've known your daughter, that we've been friends, and you're going to... And let me preface this by saying that this has nothing to do with any kind of, you know, what I'm doing here with the radio, no kind of celebrity status at all. I'm not expecting like a royal, oh, hey, Pat, what? You're doing a great job with the radio or whatever, anything like that. It's the fact that I've known you for most of my entire life. I'm friends with your daughter for 20 years, and you see me, and there's one thing, too. If you don't want to have a whole blown conversation with somebody, you don't want to get into the, you know, the small talk that nobody really wants. But there's a way to do that. Hey, how you doing? How you been? Great. How are you? Awesome. Good. See you. Great to see you.
Did your mom acknowledge that she blew you off?
Yeah, she was like, "You want me to text her?" And I was like, "No, stop. That this lady does not mean she does not have any amount of real estate in my head, but just the total crassness.
Like she does.
The blatant rudeness for you to do that."
All right,
say hi to somebody.
Come on, Mary. Trash him.
That's just offensive.
Folks, I'm going to let you... I just need to ask this question. Mm. Was there a stiff job done to her daughter over the last 20 years that could have led to this?
What kind of stiff job are we talking about?
Well, either one, good
or bad.
I
left that very open-ended there. Yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
There was no stiff jobs at all. And her daughter, I think, lives in Europe now with her husband. But no, there was nothing ever to be done.
I think now he follows her on Instagram. He knows damn well.
There's nothing that was ever done for her to be angry with me at all. And that's why I was so blown away by it.
Wow. Oil to boil. All right.
I mean, you didn't change. Like, you look the same, right? She could have.
My mom was like, oh, maybe she didn't recognize you. I'm like, what do you mean? I don't have any facial hair. I look the same as I did 10 years ago.
Boyle, it shows you the aging process.
Could she have wanted you to date her daughter? And because you didn't, she wouldn't talk to you?
No way at all.
That's what I was thinking.
No way at all.
Now she's stuck with some loser husband in Europe?
No way at all. It all was right. Just, she was so angry. By the way, you're looking for bug spray in CVS for 15 minutes. Ask somebody. Ask somebody. Hey, I kept looking for bug spray, wasting a quarter of an hour of my life. Maybe can somebody help me out? Aisle 6? Thank you. Nope. Instead, you're going to let, you can't, your incompetence of finding bug spray in CVS then turn into you blowing me off when I go to, I didn't even get the chance to say hi. I did a wave, glanced at me for a half a second, glanced right back down. Screw you.
Wow.
Well, she's not occupying any real estate, so that's good.
Can't wait to see what EJ has here. EJ?
Tough follow there, but I am trashing at BigDog44K. So I am trashing him because I did a show overnight on WFAN. I hate to bring the fan baggage to this show. But
no, it's okay. I mean, I'm going to bring up how I'm nominated for Pulse of the People soon.
There you go. So I did a show, showing fine, whatever, leaving the station early, 6 a.m., all of a sudden flooded with notifications. And I'm like, there's no way it's just about this show. Something must have happened. And the great Keith McPherson, who does shows over there, who's been on paternity leave, got a tweet from somebody, this guy being BigDog44K, who said, at Keith McPherson, going on and on about how wonderful Lindor has been as a Met. Easily the most tone-deaf host on WFAN. Thanks, Keith. He took out the Rockies. That was me on the air. It was not Keith McPherson.
No.
So Keith McPherson also responds, says, go ahead and delete this tweet. I'm on paternity leave. All black people don't sound the same.
Oh, boy.
Talk about tone-deaf. That was my guy EJ on last night. I guarantee he said his name in and out of breaks. Check your ears and brain. I talk about the Yankees. Thanks. Everybody here knows Keith McPherson. Everybody knows what his whole deal is. He is a Yankee fan. The idea that someone could have listened to my show where I'm a Mets fan and I talked about Lindor and the Mets for 4 hours and thought, that guy, that's got to be Keith McPherson. You need your head examined. Are you kidding me?
And I'm going to defend you here as a local person. You and Keith sound nothing alike.
Right.
Nothing alike.
We do not sound alike at all.
And I'm not bringing race into this. You literally don't sound alike. You have no, that's it. Now, also, Keith almost proudly, and I would even argue to a fault, brags about only talking Yankees and almost completely ignores the Mets. Like actually doesn't act like there's two teams in town. Where EJ, you do.
And the thing, it was a positive take on the Mets. Like, imagine, like, okay, maybe you think, okay, he's talking about the Mets, but, like, it's something bad that happened. I'm saying, hey, Lindor's underrated. He's underappreciated.
Yeah.
And you listened to that and thought, this is got to be Keith McPherson, this guy I always listen to, who I think is trash. How does that make any sense?
Now, the listeners are off. Now, if it makes you feel any better, EJ, this happens to white people, too, because when I made my sweeping video and everybody said I jinxed the Rangers, Tommy Lugauer, who produces over there, is very skinny, white like me, but looks nothing like me, doesn't sound like me. He's still getting tweets of people killing him thinking he is me.
Oh, poor crazy. Tommy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, how many times do I need to get these tweets? This is not, people still hate that.
Or about Tom Izzo, who works here, who still gets tweets from Michigan State fans or fans of other colleges who thinks that it's Tom Izzo, the head coach.
That's one of my favorite bits, by the way.
Yeah. When and DA is going to get tweets today, by the way.
Mm.
People hating him, thinking I'm him.
Sure.
But you're right, though. Every time Michigan State rolls around, the Tom Izzo
that he's like, oh, I'm proud of my guys. We battled. Great.
People are crazy. All right, Caserta, what do you got?
Two tough acts to follow. I had to think about this one. I was going to go actually with both of you for not including me on the show tweet today. Mraz, you did it last night. Bogish did it this morning. Listen, you guys aren't occupying any real estate in my head. So I'm going to tweet this generation of Italian-American men on Instagram who go to restaurants and cook at home, and they make us sound like utter buffoons. I don't know if it was Jersey Shore or The Sopranos, but there's this crop of guys that it's like, oh, we got the Memorial Day spread the way my mother used to make it. You got the sausage and peppers. You got the Italian combo with the super side, the gabagool. Oh, look at the size of the semolina roll. It's bigger than your sister's ass. If you listen to the Italian language, it's beautiful. It is a beautiful language. When I talk to my mom about when she would cook with my grandmother back in the day, we bond over food. These people make us sound like idiots, and I cannot stand it. And yet these guys have followers, and they're popular, and sometimes they're sponsored, and it makes me sick. The disgraziado over here.
How about that?
I can't stand these guys. They really annoy me.
All right, trash.
Totally gross, dude.
Look, Caserta, anytime you drop at your sister's ass, you're always going to get big brownie points for me. But he's right. He is right. Bogus?
I'm trashing. This is for all the parents out there who have kids who play outdoor sports right now, which are almost exclusively played on turf. And these damn little rubber pellets that pop up out of the turf that end up in cleats, sneakers, pockets of baseball pants, they're everywhere. I spent at least a half an hour yesterday on my hands and knees sweeping, shop vacuuming these things out of my garage where my son and daughter take off their soccer cleats, baseball cleats. They are like little presents from the devil. They're everywhere. We can't get rid of them. They're in the house, out of the house, in the car, everywhere. They suck. Get them out.
All right, trash.
We're eroding.
I always thought this playing flag football on turf when I'd come home, same deal. Cleats and everything, folks. How often do they have to replace these rubber pellets? Because everybody must come home with a ton every game.
Also, how are we not discussing this after every NFL game? Or anything. Like,
right.
These players never complain about that. No one's ever like...
See it like whenever they slide, like the pellets on them.
But you ever see a guy on the sideline taking his cleat off and banging on the ground to get some of the pellets out?
Well, they have trainers doing that. Or
still,
whatever.
Never seen
managers.
It.
Interesting. All right. I'm going to trash, and I'm a week away, I got to be honest, from trashing the company I ordered this from, the pizza oven I got for Christmas from my wife. Okay.
It hasn't arrived
no,
yet?
No. It arrived.
Oh, okay.
All right. It arrived. And we were super excited all winter long about having like pizza nights as a family and making pizzas and all of it. And now look, can it be a little bit of a pain in the butt by the time you buy the sauce, the dough, when you knead it out, and you're probably better off with, you know, ordering a pizza? Sure, but it's about the experience. It's something cool to have in the yard. So we used it once a couple weeks ago for the first time. We put it together, spring started, we put it together. It's a wood-fired pizza oven.
Okay.
So you kind of like light the fire underneath there. I thought it was because I used a newspaper to light it. It tasted horrible.
Oh.
It tasted like the smokiest, grossest pizza ever.
Okay.
So I watched a few YouTube videos on this, and I had to buy like this scentless tumbleweed thing at Lowe's. Okay.
Okay.
And with like a fire starter stick and then just like one log of wood, and that would light it up. So I did this on Sunday night. We were going to do a pizza night. I made some wings. We were going to do pizza. So I go to light it up. And you leave it and you let it warm up, and it comes with this pizza stone thing. The entire thing goes on fire. Once I put the pizza in, it was almost like cheese dripped down, like flames coming out of the front of it, up the top of it. I had to get the hose.
Holy cow.
And spray this thing up. I thought my house was going to go up. So I spray it up. I give it a little bit. She ends up having another pizza on a pizza stone. I put it on my grill. All right?
Yeah.
So now I'm waiting for this thing to cool down. I end up cleaning it out. Anyway, the pizza with the dough and everything on this pizza stone comes out great on my grill. Turns out all I needed was the stone to sit over the propane thing on my grill. I'm like, wow, this is great. We can really make pizzas, but I don't need the whole freaking pizza oven. So by the time I clean it out, I'm going to try one more thing here. And I basically like lessen the wood a little less. Flame shooting right up. The pizza is gray. Gray. Oh. Like the whole pizza, like it was less of a fire, but the pizza's gray. It was like it was eating carcinogen pizza. So yesterday, my wife contacted the company, and she bought it in November. And they said, sorry, there's a 30-day return policy.
Of course.
And her argument back was, this is a seasonal item that you use outside. We're not using it now until the spring or summer. It was a holiday item. And the person said, my hands are tied unless your house literally went on fire, is what this person said. So now she has a call today with management. If they do not refund us, our thought is refund us. We'll buy another item, some kind of flat top or something. And now we know we could cook the pizza on the grill.
Right.
If we really want to do it, it came out great on the pizza stone. Like, actually, really, really good. Sorry. It's like a $250 item. It already went on fire the second time I used it.
Yeah, it's not good.
Get it out.
Yeah.
Trash.
That will contribute to the microplastics in the bottom of the ocean.
And you probably didn't think it to do it because of the danger, but had you like filmed the flames and been like...
No, it was nuts.
And she's show that to them away. And be like, this is what just happened around my kids.
Yeah. Now, by the way, long story longer, you're a smoker guy, a smoker. I'm probably just better off with propane and having gas hookups in general. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you the brand name off the air because I've done a lot of research because this is a trendy thing to have now.
I actually don't know. My wife knows it.
This is a trendy thing to have.
Yeah.
You can attach it to the propane tank. You can get like the wood pellets, like the fancy smoker grills. And yeah. I've more than once almost bought it for myself and almost got it for a Father's Day present. But I have a pizza stone on the grill and it works fine. That always ends up being the tiebreak. It's like, okay, it's another thing in the yard that I got to put somewhere and I can already basically do it. Like, unless you're going to build like a real actual brick oven pizza where you can make a lot of things in it. The little tiny desktop ones are not worth it.
For one, I mean, it's a stand-up thing, but it is only one pizza at a time.
Right.
So I'm more than happy knowing I can now make it on the grill because of the stone. Like
the
it came
pizza
out
stone's
awesome.
A great thing.
Yeah, and like this is a stone that came in, so I'm actually excited now to make pizzas more so than ever. But the idea is I could just make them on my grill.
It also makes the best reheated pizza too. The pizza stone, put it in the oven, get it hot, throw the frozen slice on there, and it comes out as close to real as you're gonna get.
I love it. A couple trashes coming in. Dixie Lindan, I'm trashing commercials. Cap absolutely deserves his days off. Never mind. I can't even read that. I can't, like, Dixie Lindan, don't trash commercials, bro. There is no DA show without commercials. Me, Bogues, DA, Caserta, Boyle, EJ, even Pete, even though he'll complain. Do you know how we get paid? Those commercials you listen to on the audio. My goodness.
Wait, I'll be Pete.
I get paid?
Yeah, exactly.
There's much abuse.
Ostrich Eyes, Trash Tuesday, I'm trashing No Stream.
Come on, guys.
I should re-preview this. How am I supposed to listen and not watch? I don't know.
Use your ears.
First of all, how most of our audience, I hate to break it to you.
I know.
Most of our audience is like, why do you guys keep talking about the stream? All I do is listen. We're a radio show. We are so happy to have the stream as a companion. Cap does a great job. Guys, it's a radio show. And remember, you can listen to it free on the Odyssey app.
And we appreciate you wanting to see us.
100%. It's not a knock on watching us.
But you'll be okay.
We're not a TV show that suddenly you're like, how can I watch it?
It is
a radio show.
Yeah, but it is partially Kaplan's fault because he's so good. He's made it so watchable.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's a weird fun thing because I'm not knocking the stream. I'm happy with it. But I almost like, I mean, come on. You're trashing commercials?
Right. And in their defense, to not dismiss Cap in any way, there's got to be somebody that can be like 60% to Cap.
Oh, there is. It's EJ.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Hey, EJ.
But notice whose job EJ's in today.
Oh, no. Right.
EJ, who are you filling in for today?
Pete Bilotti.
Why do you?
And who handles filling in?
Geez.
Who handles putting in the schedule on who could possibly fill in for Cap or Pete the Body?
It is Pete Bilotti. Love you, Pete, by the way.
You think conflict of interest there?
So this is Pete's fault.
Pete decided to not have us on the stream to make sure his job was in the best hands possible.
Mm. So direct those particular trashes to Pete, not to us, is what you're
right.
saying?
Because we could survive without a stream, but if there was somebody who was really incapable on the board today,
right?
Pete would be fielding texts on his days off, and he doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, hashtag girl dad when you tweet Pete about stream.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I'm surprised in the interest of economics that I wasn't doing both today and EJ was running the stream.
Well, that's the other part. Pete does not want to do that because then Pete will be fearful in his mind of this eventually being eliminated to one job.
Didn't he just have a baby?
Yeah.
No, but this is Pete's mindset.
Also, too, if Boyle, you do both jobs, then they'll stop replacing Sean and Pete will have to do both jobs.
Yes.
When Sean and I host. So they'll just leave Pete in there by himself and he doesn't want that to happen either.
That's probably more so that this is all a long game for Pete. Basically this, why you don't have a stream is more about Pete and the best interest of Pete than the best interest of the audience.
Yeah, Pete's first.
Pete's like Littlefinger from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And how did Littlefinger end up?
Dead.
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
Guys, we're having a good time. Having a good time.
We crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey, you know. It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA show.
Oh, baby. Your only Canadian bacon of the week here. And before we get it started, Ostrich Eyes did tweet at us, actual Trash Tuesday. I'm trashing the Stars' effort last night. That was just sad. Stars country, let's cry. All right, let's find out what Ostrich Eyes is talking about with the one and only Pat Boyle.
All right, gentlemen, the Celtics failed to become the first team in NBA history to successfully complete an 0-3 comeback. However, we had the same storyline brewing in the Western Conference Finals last night. The Dallas Stars were flaming out just a few days ago, down 3-0 against the Vegas Golden Knights. However, they returned to the American Airlines Center last night, looking to continue flying high and force a Game 7. In the last 45 years, only two other teams in Stanley Cup playoff history completed miraculous 0-3 comebacks. So the Stars were hoping to come and knock on our door, come and knock on our door. We've been waiting for you, we've been waiting for you. Where the kisses are hers and hers and hers, three's company too. But shut up, Janet and Chrissy. Jack Eichel and the boys from Vegas had something to say about that. Dallas was hoping for a starry night, but just like Van Gogh's mental health, this game got ugly fast. Before we even got 5 minutes underway, William Carrier said, "Not today," as he flicked a backhand over Jake Oettinger for the first goal. Then, a costly penalty from Issa Lindell minutes later, flipping the puck over the glass from the defensive zone. Hey, Issa, Yusa, or Alusa, because you cost your team. Vegas cashed in on the power play and cashed out a second goal when William Carlson, whose nickname is Wild Bill, said to the Stars, "It puts the lotion in the basket, or it gets the hose again." Well, Dallas got the hose either way one more time in the first period as we got your goal of the night. An early au revoir to the Stars from Keegan Kolesar.
Knights take the puck from behind their goal. Martinez springs Kolesar, joined by Carrier. Bank pass to him, left circle, back in front. Kolesar scores! What a setup! The Golden Knights have taken a 3-0 lead.
Keegan Kolesar, the superstar. A game that was once tight like all the women who do their Kegels. Keegan loosened it up real quick. The Knights kept the meteor shower going in the second period as the Stars came crashing down to earth. Jonathan Marchessault, the man from Cap Rouge, Quebec, did the Moulin Rouge on his way to scoring, and the Knights were singing, "Itchy, gitchy, ya, ya, da, da. Itchy, gitchy, ya, ya, hee. Mocha chocolata, yeah, yeah." 4-0 Vegas after the second. More of the same in the third period as Dallas fans got to drink their own tears, regurgitate them, and then drink them again before they even headed for the exits. William Carlson added another, and Michael Amadio put the finishing touches on this one. Sweet melodies for Vegas fans. Here is your final call from Golden Knights Radio.
Carrier, Carlson, Kolesar, Marchessault, Carlson, Amadio. This one is over. 6-0. A shutout victory in Game 6 for the Vegas Golden Knights. For the second time in 6 seasons, the Golden Knights will play for the Stanley Cup. Western Conference champions in 2023, the Golden Knights will play the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final.
On Carrier, on Carlson, on Kolesar, on Marchessault, on Amadio, Santa said to the Knights as he piled in his sleigh with toys and goodies for the good boys and girls in Vegas. Even the naughty girls in Vegas. And nothing but coal for all of you in Dallas. 6-0, the final. After the game, your soundbite of the night, courtesy of Vegas head coach Bruce Cassidy.
I asked the guys. I'm not a superstitious guy at all. So I was game for whatever they decided. I mean, it's their moment. If they wanted to pass it around, great. If not, that's fine by me too.
Bruce talking about the Campbell Trophy. Oh, come on, Bruce. Let's go, Goose. He wanted to get loose as Cassidy didn't have the capacity to be superstitious. The Vegas Golden Knights are heading to their second Stanley Cup final in their short franchise history. Now, can they declaw the Panthers? And that is your Canadian bacon.
That was good stuff.
That was good stuff. All right, EJ Stewart, what do we got? Five oinks. This is back-to-back shows that we have hosted, Bogues, where a non-Pete grader is given 5 oinks.
I actually think this one's deserving.
I'm not going to be a hater here.
Yeah.
This was my favorite bacon in a while.
Can you save yours? Because I think I'm the one that doesn't believe it's a five.
Okay.
Wow. And here's why. Okay. It's one thing, and I'm really splitting hairs because it was that good, and I think it's my favorite boiled bacon.
Okay.
The Wild Bill thing, it's Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
In Silence of the Lambs. So I had it at a 4.75.
Ooh, okay.
Only because of the reference of my favorite movie, Silence of the Lambs.
So it's not perfect.
It's the only thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it is a perfect five.
Along those same lines, I believe Moulin Rouge is a place, not a dance. And you said they did the Moulin Rouge. Love both references.
Mm. Wow.
But we've hit Shawnee for technicalities like that. So we got to point them out here.
And this is where I'm an idiot. I've never seen Silence of the Lambs.
Mm.
I did not know it was a place, Moulin Rouge. So you got me, Boyle. You got EJ. And nobody could change the grade regardless. Now, I will just say this. A couple things I liked. Number one, in case you couldn't pick up on it, that Canadian bacon is proof that Boyle's a hard hat guy. And you might ask, how do you know that, Sean? Could you tell he spent a lot of time at work this weekend and not some time with ladies? Boy. Boy, did he sound wound up with a couple of his references.
The game happened last night.
I'm talking about things he's thinking about that he's inserting into Canadian bacon.
I'm pretty sure he's thinking about those things while he's doing those things. So I don't
know
the difference.
I don't know. I think he's...
Shawnee's right.
Yeah.
we got 2 weeks of dryness here.
It's a moment of vulnerability from the kid.
I do think there's something to get. Also...
Wait, are you accidentally going to be celibate at the Bob's Bar Show? Even though you didn't lose the bet?
That's TBD.
Wow. Why do you think he was getting EJ some water? Now, I have to say...
Keeping all my options open.
Of all the Canadian bacons, and we're coming at the end of the road here, clearly, because we've gotten in the Stanley Cup, and Caserta's had a couple moments. Boyle's obviously had a couple moments. I'd like to think I had a couple moments. I, for some reason, think that Issa, Yusa, or Elusa might have been my favorite baconism of the season.
It's pretty good.
It was good.
It was pretty good. I would have given that one 6 winks. So even with the deductions for the Moulin Rouge and Buffalo Bill, he's still
Issa,
off the charts.
Yusa or Elusa. So
I loved that one. And then I think he actually trumped it by talking about all the good girls and boys and then sneaking in the naughty girls. I thought that was my favorite part of the whole thing.
And a Kegels reference that barely beat the judges.
Just got through the censors.
Yeah.
I did look over at EJ to see if he was going to dump that.
I still don't know if he did or didn't. Would
Bilotti have understood that to make a decision to dump it?
No.
Okay.
No. And you know what else Boyle did right out the gate that I liked? That I oftentimes try to tell myself I'm going to do and I never remember to do it. And outside of a playoff game in Calgary. And that is, you know, when we try to come up with bacon and you write some of the puns about where the game's being played, usually base it on city. He went right to the American Airlines. We've done enough Dallas jokes and then took the takeoff thing. That is just smart. How could I do something different here?
We're That's at cerebral. Stars.
Yes.
It's cerebral.
Now, did you know Sean had done a Three's Company thing recently?
I did.
Okay.
Oh.
So that makes my point even more, I think, important, is that you do the little hat tip to Shawnee, but then your line about afterwards, shut up, Chrissy, Jack Eichel, make the joke yours. And makes it better.
Yeah.
So good job there.
Were those
too.
Characters on Three's Company?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the three. But I can't think of the other girl's name.
Chrissy.
No, Chrissy I had.
Well,
and Jack.
Janet.
Yeah.
That was good, man. Boyle, that was good. I can't sit here and be a hater.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that's why that was part of the reason. Getting EJ the cup of water.
You schmooze him a little bit.
Maybe that was that last quarter of an oink to get me over the line.
Quarter of an oink. It's been a good run of bacons. I'm just going through the thread. A lot of good scores lately.
Well, bacon's been good. Well, bacon, I think we've also gotten to a point where it's kind of... Perfected is the wrong word because nothing's perfective. But I think anybody that does bacon now, whoever your favorite bacon, pork, king of the pork is, if it's boiled, great. If it's Caserta, great. If you still like me, great. But I think everybody has their niche on bacon, and it's just like, everybody just knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of, are you going to stumble and make a bunch of mistakes? Am I going to have to restart the intro? You know? That's what it comes down to. But overall, like, you're going to be entertained. And I think we have more people caring about the NHL playoffs listening to this segment than otherwise would. People checking in. You know how many times I'm watching a hockey game and I'll get tweets? Did you see this? This would be good for bacon. Like, people watch hockey games with bacon on their mind. It's kind of amazing.
It's the biggest thing for the sport since Fox Tracks.
I don't think you're wrong here. I think if this was a better run league, we'd be at the Stanley Cup Finals doing bacon live the next morning on location.
I completely agree. Or at least NHL Digital will be contacting Cap. Speaking of which, Kevin Tim Guidry tweets in, I'm trashing the fact that CBS Sports Radio can't train somebody to turn on the stream.
Enough about the stream already. 2.5 hours of this.
I love how celebratory this is of Cap, but also demeaning. They can't just flick it on.
Right.
Basically, the guy's just looking to turn on. No, like there's a lot of like zooming in that works, a graphics department thing that goes on. And by the way, I cannot stress this enough. We have trained people. Pete the Body has taken the one backup to Cap and put him in his position because Pete does not want to make it apparent that two people could do the job of one behind the glass, therefore meaning when I am in this chair, Pete has to do the job by himself. It is a long play by Pete, and that is why you don't have a stream.
And by the way, you know the other person who is trained to do the stream besides me?
Who?
Kay Wall.
Just returned.
Oh.
And Kevin Wall guess what he's back. Doing the rest of this week?
He's in that chair.
There you go.
Oh, man.
And are you free the rest of the week?
I am not.
Okay.
And by the way, Kay Wall, let's calm down on how well he was trained on the stream. There was a portion where he shot just an empty chair for a segment.
last That's why we send him to the minors.
Exactly. Curtis tweets in, I'm trashing my boss. Dude takes a 4-day weekend and sent us all a bunch of nonsense while fully expecting us to work all week.
Doesn't that happen on this show?
I mean,
is your boss rooting?
But also... He's not allowed to take off. I hate that. I hate when people complain that their bosses are off, but you're expected to do work. Yeah, it's your job. Also, maybe an all-time bad tweet from Dixie Landan. Hold up, wait a minute. I pay to subscribe to Twitch show in caps. I don't have to hear commercials. I'm helping pay that salary, although minuscule. I pay my money. We have two great hard hat guys. Have one of them fire up Twitch. Okay, Dan, I need to explain something to everybody here. Because I had to look into this. I was not aware that anybody was paying for Twitch. As it turns out, when you pay for Twitch, you're just paying Twitch. You have that access to other shows besides the DA show and CBS Sports Radio. You're not helping pay for Squad here. You're helping to pay employees of Twitch.
And paying is just to get access to the chat, right? Is that
how it works? No. It's getting...
I thought Twitch was a free service.
It is, and I don't pay, and I have access to... I think it's to get into like certain... aspects of the chat, emojis, and
I think mine's wrapped into my Amazon Prime account. I think
I've never had to log in.
That's how I have access.
Dixieland Dan has Twitch Blue, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. I'm telling you, I made up a Twitch account. I get right in that chat. I have never paid for anything.
It's verified.
What's Twitch Blue?
Like Twitter Blue, like the
that's it
verified check.
But it's spelled BLEW.
So, Dan, I hate to break it to you, and we appreciate everybody that watches on Twitch and YouTube. It's a great service. Cap does a great job. The video is such a great companion, but we are still a radio show, and unfortunately, your payments to Twitch for whatever you're paying for it for do not pay for any of ours. No, those ads you hear on the audio side pay for that. All right, Caserta, what do we got?
Guys, the Celtics have some questions with their season over. Namely, will Jaylen Brown be back now that he's eligible for a 5-year, $295 million Supermax extension? Jason Tatum was asked about the future of the team and what adjustments need to be made.
You know, we had a special opportunity this year. We just fell a little bit short. It's not like we're not capable. We don't have the talent. You know, we do. It just didn't go our way this year.
Oh, I'm going to stop you. I have one more tweet to read.
Please, no.
Bogues, you're going to like this one.
Is it about me?
No.
Damn it.
It actually comes back to Pete again.
Oh, even
you can't
better.
Even Pete, you can't even leave Pete alone. He's home with a new baby.
Today,
Moist Pork tweets in, guys, stop trashing no stream. At AJ Kaplan deserves a vacation as much as anyone else. That being said, who handles the stream for Maggie and Perloff? Why couldn't Pete get him? Oh, Moist, I'm glad you asked.
I actually don't know the answer to this question.
I am going to reveal the answer, but Bogues, do you know the answer to this question?
Yes, I do.
Who handles the stream for Maggie and Perloff? That would be Stu Kovacs. Who's Stu Kovacs? He's the one who has Pete's job on Maggie and Perloff and the job EJ's doing today. Stu Kovacs double tasks. They have set him up with like the kind of touch board on how to operate the cameras and everything and trained him to, while he's running the audio of the radio show, is also pivoting around and running the stream So Stu Kovacs is doing the job of both Kaplan and Pete the Body at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine asking Pete to do that with no price raising come the way Stu has been asked to do that? So why couldn't Pete get somebody to do it? Well, that would be Pete getting himself to do it. Moist.
Could we get somebody to go to Pete with this and say, will you learn it to be Kaplan's backup on the day Kaplan is out? Will you learn the system and run it?
Now, does this have to come from one of Pete's superiors, or can it come from anybody that's involved in this universe? Because I have somebody that I'd recommend to voice that to Pete.
I've been pranked by bosses before.
You have?
Yeah, a couple times probably.
Oh, his meltdown. His meltdown would be epic.
Now he's possibly listening right now, so it's already not possible, and he's screaming at his radio.
I truthfully don't think that's right. It is a lot to ask, but the point does factor in. Why couldn't? Because you'd be asking him to do that, and Pete ain't going to do that.
No.
Oh, I also know that Jack Stern is looking for more shifts. Could be the prodigy. Could be the role that he is destined for.
If you want DA to quit.
I don't know, though. He loves Jack more than anybody else. He's pitching his chicken wing recipe. He's making him a Tangier's chicken chef. He might want Jack on the street.
Pete likes Jack because Jack's the only one that doesn't say no to him when he goes to schedule.
Mm.
That's why Pete likes Jack.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
All right. I apparently was really screwed up with state initials. Why the heck not? Let's get the day started with David in Columbia, Montana. David, what's up?
That's Missouri, sweetheart.
Isn't 8 times 4 42? I am still playing it because it's a good brain buster. It gets my brain going for the day.
You should learn your states next.
The Amazon, the Allegheny, they all connect somewhere. Well, to be fair, I still don't know. What is Montana's abbreviation? M what?
MT, I believe.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, cataclysmic?
I mean, for the record, I don't even think there's an O in Missouri, and that's M-O.
There is.
Yep.
M-I-S-S-O-U-R-I. Okay. Yeah.
I am very big on drug dealing.
So why wouldn't that be M-I or M-S?
Because that's Mississippi.
Taste bud exploitees.
Too many M states. A lot of A's, too. The A's one throw me off.
A? Is there a state that starts with an A?
And you understand we leave it amicably, but amicably?
There's
go
home.
Hold on.
Let me think of one.
Disciplines.
Jeez, what is a state that's Alaska? A-L?
No.
A-K?
A-K.
I got that run right.
Because what else is A-L?
Alabama.
You got it.
One
roll,
more.
Roll tide.
At least one
ooh,
more.
Arkansas.
Here you go.
A-R-K?
A-R. They only use two.
Is that it?
Oh, I'm quite the crevice. I made a lot of mistakes in life.
Arizona. A-Z.
Go. I think I'm a lost cause. I'm a fat moron.
Fattest lord ass.
Beep-a-ba-boop-a-ba-ba-ba.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
So if you're wondering what happened the last 20 minutes, Boyle was just taking as many drops to make me look an idiot as possible and putting them in a two-minute package. Your advanced analytics question of the morning. What day would you rather have off during an extended holiday weekend? 66% of you said Monday.
Yeah.
34% said Friday. Memorial Day wasn't always observed as the last Monday of May, creating the three-day work week. Memorial Day, or three-day weekend, Memorial Day was initially set on May 30th. No matter what day of the week that would be, the change could be traced to the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, a piece of legislation passed in 1968 and enacted in 1971, which declared that certain holidays would take place on certain Mondays. In 2021, the country of Iceland experimented with establishing a four-day work week for its citizens. It was deemed an overwhelming success. The trials in which workers were paid the same amount for shorter hours took place between 2015 and 2019. Productivity remained the same or improved in the majority of workplaces. Wow. Wow. There's more here, but I just want to quickly go around. Pat and EJ had to work Monday, but after their shifts, both attempted to enjoy the rest of their days with mixed results. EJ took his dog and his girlfriend to the park for a picnic. Uncle Pat tried to relish in some time by the pool, but was stuck changing diapers for his nephews while his sister took a dip. Uncle Pat, how about that? And Bogues, you prefer Monday.
100%.
I do too.
Because now this week feels short too. All of a sudden it's going to be Friday, Saturday again.
And if done right, you don't treat Monday like a party day. You treat Sunday like that as opposed to Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, a lot of relaxation, catching up, good family time. And you're right. Now we're going to close our eyes. Guess what? Wordy on Wednesday, pal. And speaking of Wednesday, you and I back. I've been told the dream team of Boyle and EJ gone tomorrow. We get Kevin Wall back up from AAA and Billy Giacalone tomorrow.
Which might mean a Jack Stern newsroom. There's a lot going on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.